Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Most of us have an image of opera that comes from the 19th and 20th century traditions. The big cast of singers, lavish stage effects, a heaping dose of drama. But an earlier form of opera from the Baroque era is having a bit of a moment. Mezzo-soprano Stephanie Blythe is no stranger to the styles. Since her 2001 debut album of Baroque arias, which you're hearing in the background, she's performed in the Metropolitan Opera's production of the 17th century opera Rodelinda not once, not twice, but three times. Stephanie joins me here in the Soundcheck studio. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So is Baroque opera having a bit of a moment here in New York?
I don't think that Baroque opera ever stopped having a moment.
Well, there
I think
was...
it's having a good moment at the Met right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a very, very beautiful and incredibly viable, exciting art form, as big as any other opera.
How different is Baroque opera from, you know, what we normally think of as the kind of mainstream of grand opera?
Well, it isn't really. I mean, you know, you have a lot of arias and a lot of recitatives, and people think of it as being more stand and sing-ish. Mm-hmm. I completely disagree. The opera that we're doing right now, Rodelinda, has an incredibly difficult story. It's very, very involved. It's very dramatic. It has a large principal cast. It does not have a chorus, but there's certainly plenty of 19th century opera that would fit that bill as well. Mm-hmm. It's extraordinarily, this particular production is extraordinarily well sung and directed and conducted. And it's, I believe that it makes Baroque opera as essential as Puccini.
Mm-hmm. Now, how unusual is it for the Metropolitan Opera, which after all could basically produce any opera it wanted mm-hmm. anytime, to bring back a production not once, but twice? I mean, this is now the third time
right.
they're presenting Rodelinda within a seven-year span.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think that they brought it back because it was incredibly successful.
Mm-hmm.
And not just as a vehicle for Renee Fleming, but which is understandable. She's beautiful in this role. But to introduce the audience to some really terrific singers, we have some wonderful new cast members this year.
Mm-hmm.
In Joe Kaiser, who is singing the tenor role of Grimoaldo, and Shen Yang, who is a wonderful young Chinese bass baritone singing Grimoaldo, and Yestin Davies, who is a new countertenor to the Met. He's magnificent, and people have really been raving about him.
Well, now, the countertenor, the very high male voice, that mm-hmm. is something that you don't find a lot in Puccini
well,
or Verdi.
Well, that's true. You're absolutely right about that. but I don't think that I have not heard from a single person I know who has seen this piece that they found that jarring or difficult to mm-hmm. deal with. It's just simply a fact of Baroque opera.
Right. Now your role is Edwige.
Yes.
What's her story within this sort of complex thicket of stories of Rodelinda?
Well, really, we all have the same story in Rodelinda. Everyone is either everyone is struggling between love and power, and you find that in every opera. Mm-hmm. You find it in every story, in every book, in every great epic poem. You're going to find this, which is what makes this piece universal. And I think what Edwige is struggling with is that she's in love with a man who loves her but wants power, and is willing to do the unthinkable. Or at least to think about doing the unthinkable in order to get that power, and that she loves him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But she's spurned and angry, and I adore playing the character because there's so many things going on, such great conflict, and from great conflict comes beautiful resolution.
And some beautiful music, too.
Yes.
This is from Act Two of Rodelinda. It's my guest, Stephanie Blythe.
La Verdure
That is my guest, Stephanie Blythe, the mezzo-soprano, singing from Handel's Rodelinda. This is from Act Two, and Stephanie, there's going to be a lot of Handel being sung.
Ironically, you know, that piece isn't from Rodelinda. It's from Teseo.
Oh.
And you wouldn't know that, obviously, because we don't tell anybody that. That is an aria that was taken from another Handel opera and inserted into Rodelinda to help flesh out the character a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And
just to say that that's not something that would have been Handel himself would not have batted an eye at that.
No, not at all.
That was actually standard practice.
Yes. Absolutely standard practice. Mm-hmm. And actually the aria has all new words that were written by the director, Stephen Wadsworth.
Wow.
So I was very, very fortunate when we started doing this production to discover that both he and Harry Bickett, who conducts it, have done some really beautiful work, totally in keeping with the style, to flesh out the character and the story.
Yeah. I think that's an indication of just how far we've come with Baroque opera.
Sure.
I mean, you remember maybe 20 years ago when William Christie
mm-hmm.
and Les Arts Florissantes,
mm-hmm.
his fabulous
yes.
French-based group, first brought some of the Rameau operas
sure.
or the Lully operas to New York. And people were just like, what is this?
No.
Where has this been for three and a half centuries?
This music speaks to everyone. And the messages that all of these arias have are universal.
Speaking with Stephanie Blythe, who is performing the role of Edwige in Handel's Rodelinda tomorrow night at the Met at 7:30 p.m., and then Saturday night again at 8 p.m. at the Metropolitan Opera, which is a big stage, Stephanie, but not the only one you've been occupying lately. You premiered John Corigliano's 9/11 anniversary
yes.
song cycle called
yes.
One Sweet Morning,
yes,
appropriately in September. As a musical and as an emotional experience, what was that like?
Well, that was the most it was the most fulfilling and frightening thing I'd ever done, because I'm a huge fan of John's work. I've known him for quite a while, and I was introduced to his work through The Ghost of Versailles.
Mm-hmm. His opera,
done yes.
for the Met.
And when I was approached about this, and John said they wanted to write this for my voice, I was incredibly excited and very, very honored. And when I got the score, I thought, okay, I can do this. This is, you know. But I will tell you something. I have never learned anything that difficult before. And it was difficult because it was difficult to physically to sing it. It has a gigantic range. It's got the biggest range of any. It's 2.5-octave range. And it is emotionally so charged that it was very, very difficult at some times to separate myself from the actual emotion to actually sing the piece.
Mm.
Because I really, it doesn't, to me, it doesn't matter if the audience sees me a wreck trying to sing something. I'd much rather make someone else a wreck by how I sing it. And John he's such a brilliant composer. And Alan Gilbert was so wonderful on that podium. And that orchestra is one of my favorite orchestras in the world. And I think that we all worked beautifully together to create something really extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out of that experience braver than I've ever been. And it changed me fundamentally as an artist.
Stephanie Blythe, here performing some music from the Oscar-winning composer John Corigliano and One Sweet Morning.
The rose
That is music from John Corigliano. Stephanie Blythe, my guest on Soundcheck, singing One Sweet Morning. This was John's song cycle written as a 10th anniversary piece after the attacks of 9/11 and premiered September 30th of this year, the New York Philharmonic, conducted by Alan Gilbert. And One Sweet Morning is also the name of the final song within the cycle, One Sweet Morning.
Yes.
Now this, what we just heard, that's the live performance. That's you, Alan Gilbert, the orchestra.
Yes.
We were talking earlier on the show about live albums, you know, whether they can create or recreate the kind of, not just the sound, but the intensity of the experience.
Yes.
In the classical music world, do you find that...
Absolutely. I'd rather listen to a live album than anything else. Because when I hear a live album, I know I'm not hearing something. Certainly, it's going to be edited. But you're not hearing something that is created for the listener. You're hearing something that was created for a physical audience. And audiences do not, in large part, recognize how important they are to the process of music making. A great audience is going to change a performance.
Mm.
A terrible audience has a terrible effect on performance. And I've sung many, many times in recital and been approached after a concert and congratulated by an audience member who I sang specifically to during the concert at one time or another. And I pick people out of the audiences all the time, especially ones that are really engaged. And this, almost every time they say, "What, you could see me?" Yes, yes, I could see you. The energy that an audience gives a live recording is remarkable. And you know that you're hearing the real thing. You know you're not hearing something that's manufactured.
Mm. Well, and now with the Metropolitan Opera having made this commitment not just to live broadcast, but, you know, the HD, we're seeing as well as hearing and getting some sense of the audience there in the hall, their experience.
Absolutely.
How does that affect you? I mean, you've got the audience there in front of you. Are you aware of this other, this second, more distant audience?
You mean the I call them the eyes.
The eyes.
The different lens.
The cameras.
It's difficult for me knowing that what I'm doing is going through another series of lenses, because you work very, very hard in rehearsal to make something happen, to tell a particular story. And you're very aware when you're doing the HD that that story is being retold by someone else, and you have no control over that.
And in this case, the director
exactly.
of the broadcast.
And they do a marvelous job. This is not a criticism. But knowing that the audience is not seeing what we on the stage are trying to do all the time is difficult for me as a performer. I'm getting over it, because I'd much prefer that this, I mean, I'd much prefer that Rhoda Linda is saved for all time on film. I'm thrilled that this piece has been, was on HD, because I'm a huge fan of it, and I loved being a part of the process, and I love that it's out there now.
Mm. Speaking with Stephanie Blythe, she is performing in Rhoda Linda at the Metropolitan Opera. Tomorrow night, 7:30, the role is Edwige, and then she's again in that role Saturday night at 8 o'clock, also at the Met. And so you said that you love the sound, the feel of live albums. You've done a number of studio recordings.
Mm-hmm.
We heard one a little while ago. Given your druthers, would you
live every time.
Really?
Absolutely.
All right. Stephanie Blythe, thank you so much for joining us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks.
Here is Stephanie Blythe, live from Rhoda Linda. From Handel's Rhoda Linda, and that's going to do it for Soundcheck today. On our next program, Rum-Pum-Pum Run, we find out why hordes of people are trying to avoid the familiar chorus of the Little Drummer Boy this holiday season. Good luck with that. plus a live performance of jazz sax player John Ellis's latest work, which chronicles the epic odyssey of a garbage barge. That's tomorrow on Soundcheck. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page for our Chills and Shivers Spotify playlist, and for show updates, news alerts, and live performance videos. All at facebook.com/WNYC Soundcheck. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell, the program produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. We had help today from Rachel Smith and Chris Nolan. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.